Tape recorded message number TL-415. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. We come now to Ezekiel chapter 40. The last nine chapters of the book of Ezekiel. And I would like to begin by reading you a comment on this portion by Dr. Arno C. Gabelline, well-known fundamentalist and teacher of partial dispensationalism, that is, in my opinion. But he makes a statement that the final nine chapters of this book form the climax of the great prophecies of Ezekiel. That's true. They belong to the most difficult in the entire prophetic word. That's his statement, that these belong to the most difficult in the entire prophetic word. And he declares once more, the hand of the Lord rests upon the seer, that is the prophet, and in visions of God he's brought into the land of Israel. And in the very beginning of this grand finale, we learn, therefore, that the visions concern the land of Israel. Let us remember that after the fall of Jerusalem had been announced by Ezekiel back in 33:21, his prophetic utterances and his visions concern the future when Israel is to be regathered and restored to the land. He says the previous two chapters dealt with the last invasion of the land of Israel and the complete overthrow of Gog and its hordes. The vision contained in this last section follows after Israel's deliverance. So much is clear as to the time when the prophecies, these eight chapters, will be accomplished. They have not been fulfilled in the past, certainly not in the remnant which returned under Zerubbabel and Ezra, nor have these prophecies been fulfilled since then. All is future. Only when the Lord has gathered Judah and Israel, when he has established his glorious kingdom in their midst, delivered his people and the land from the last invader, will the final vision of Ezekiel become history. Now, in the portion that we have before us, we have here from chapter 40 to 42, that would be 40, 41, and 42, the description of the temple. And then on to chapter 46, we have the temple worship. And then in the final chapters, the vision concerning the land. Generally, these are called the temple vision. But there is much more in these chapters just than the vision of a future temple. Because we will see in the contents of this, as I've said, the description of the temple and its details, the temple worship, and the vision concerning the land. Now, all that I can do in completing this brief treatment of Ezekiel is to become a Bible reader and do like the prophet did of old and simply read these words with a little comment from time to time, and that's the best that I can do. I would like to be able, if I can, to bring these studies to a close in the next two messages. We read here that in the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was smitten, in the selfsame day the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel. So that's where the visions of God brought him, and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as a frame of the city on the south. And he brought me thither, And behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. This was certainly an angelic being, although he is described as a man. And he declares the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thy heart upon all that I shall show thee, for to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. And behold a wall on the outside of the house round about, in the man's hand a measuring reed of 6 cubits long by 6 cubit and a handbreadth. So he measured the breadth of the building, 1 reed, and the height 1 reed. Then came he unto the gate which looked toward the east, and went up the stairs thereof, and measured the threshold of the gate, which was 1 reed broad, and the other threshold of the gate, which was 1 reed broad. And every little chamber was 1 reed long, and 1 reed broad, and between the little chambers were 5 cubits, and the threshold of the gate by the porch of the gate within was 1 reed. He measured also the porch of the gate within 1 reed. Then measured he the porch of the gate 8 cubits, and the post thereof 2 cubits, and the porch of the gate was inward. And the little chambers of the gate eastward were 3 on this side, and 3 on that side. They were of 1 measure, and the post had 1 measure on this side and on that side. And he measured the breadth of the entry of the gate 10 cubits, and the length of the gate 13 cubits. The space also before the little chambers was 1 cubit on this side. The space was 1 cubit on that side. The little chambers were 6 cubits on this side and 6 cubits on that side. He measured then the gate from the roof of 1 little chamber to the roof another. The breadth was 25 cubits, door against door. He made also post of 60 cubits, even under the post of the court round about the gate, and from the face of the gate of the entrance upon the face of the porch of the inner gate were 50 cubits. There were narrow windows to the little chambers, and to their post within the gate round about, and likewise to the arches and windows were round about inward, and upon each post were palm trees. Then brought he me into the outward court, and lo, there were chambers and a pavement made for the court round about. 30 chambers were upon the pavement, and the pavement by the side of the gates over against the length of the gates was the lower pavement. Then he measured the breadth of the forefront of the lower gate under the forefront of the inner court without, and 100 cubits eastward and northward. And the gate of the northward court that looked toward the north, he measured the length thereof and the breadth thereof. Little chambers thereof were 3 on this side and 3 on that side. And the post thereof and the arches thereof were after the measure of the first gate. The length thereof was 50 cubits, and the breadth 25 cubits. And their windows and their arches and their palm trees were after the measure of the gate that looketh toward the east, and they went up into it by 7 steps, and the arches thereof were before them. And the gate of the inner court was over against the gate toward the north and toward the east, and he measured from the gate 100 cubits. After that he brought me toward the south, and behold, a gate toward the south. He measured the post thereof and the arches thereof according to the measures, and there were windows in it, and the arches thereof round about like those windows. The length was 50 cubits, and the breadth 25 cubits. And there were 7 steps to go up to it, and the arches thereof were before them, and it had palm trees, one on this side, another on that side upon the post thereof. That is, these were representations of palm trees. Verse 27, there was a gate in the inner court toward the south. He measured from gate to gate toward the south 100 cubits. And he brought me to the inner court by the south gate, and he measured the south gate according to these measures, and the little chambers thereof, and the post thereof, the arches thereof, according to these measures. There were windows in it, and in the arches, thereof round about. It was 50 cubits long and 25 cubits broad. And the arches round about were 25 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. And the arches thereof were toward the outer court, the utter court, and palm trees were upon the post thereof, and the going up to it had 8 steps. And he brought me into the inner court toward the east, and he measured the gate according to these measures. And the little chambers thereof, and of the post thereof, and the arches thereof were according to these measures, and there were windows therein, and the arches thereof round about it. It was 50 cubits long, and 25 cubits broad. And the arches thereof were toward the outward court. Palm trees were upon the post thereof, and on this side, and on that side. And the going up to it had 8 steps. And he brought me to the north gate, and measured according to these measures. The little chambers thereof, the post thereof, the arches thereof, the windows to it, were round about. The length was 50 cubits, and the breadth 25 cubits. And the post thereof were toward the utter court. And palm trees were upon the post thereof, on this side, on that side. And the going up to it had 8 steps. The chambers and the entries were by the post of the gates, where they washed the burnt offering. And the porch of the gate were 2 tables on this side, 2 tables on that side, to slay thereon the burnt offering and the sin offering, the trespass offering. And at the side without, as one goeth up to the entry of the north gate, were 2 tables. And on the other side, which was at the porch of the gate, were 2 tables. 4 tables were on this side, 4 tables on that side, by the side of the gate, 8 tables, whereupon they slew their sacrifices. And the 4 tables were of hewn stone for the burnt offering, of 1.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits broad, 1 cubit high, whereupon also they laid the instruments wherewith they slew the burnt offerings and the sacrifice. And within were hooks, 1 hand broad, fastened round about, and upon the tables was the flesh of the offering. Now without the inner gates were the chambers of the singers in the inner court, which was at the side of the north gate, and their prospect was toward the south, 1 at the side of the east gate having the prospect toward the north. And he said unto me, this chamber, whose prospect is toward the south, is for the priests, the keepers of the charge of the house, and the chamber whose prospect is toward the north is for the priests, the keepers of the charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok among the sons of Levi, which come near to the Lord to minister unto him. So we measured the court, 100 cubits long, 100 cubits broad, 4 square. The altar was before the house. And he brought me to the porch of the house, and measured each post of the porch, 5 cubits on this side, 5 cubits on that side. The breadth of the gate was 3 cubits on this side and 3 cubits on that side. The length of the porch was 20 cubits, and the breadth 11 cubits. And he brought me by the steps whereby they went up, and then there were pillars by the post, one on this side, another on that side. Now, this might not seem to make any sense, but to those who have made a study of it, that is, those who have taken this as being more or less the facts that you would have as if we had an architectural drawing. And from this, they have been able to make up drawings of this future temple, which are very accurate, and we have reason to believe that they're very helpful in understanding these measurements and in understanding this plan, which I believe is the plan of the temple in the kingdom of God. Let me digress here and just say that we must ever remember that when God governs this earth, there's got to be a temple in Jerusalem, which is the temple of God. And that could be demonstrated by just one passage from the Gospel according to Matthew. And I'll turn to it here just to read a short portion from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Just a moment to get my location here. Matthew 24, when the Lord says, "Wherefore, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, the same one that was spoken of by Daniel a prophet, when you see him standing in the holy place, and that holy place has to be the holy place of the temple, and you've got to have a temple to surround this, or it would not be the holy place. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And so you can see that when this is fulfilled, that the 12 apostles must be alive to see it, and then they are supposed to be the leaders who will lead all who are in Judea, the governmental people, to flee into the mountains. Because very soon after this, within 3.5 years, and I believe 3.5 years, the very date, will be the second coming of Christ to the earth and the destruction of this one called the abomination that makes desolate, who's put himself in the holy place. Now, in 2 Thessalonians, you will remember that we read there in 2 Thessalonians and the second chapter, just a moment here and I'll have it before me, in 2 Thessalonians and the second chapter, the third verse, he says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, no matter what means he might try, don't let anyone deceive you. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first." That's a revolt or a rebellion first, that has to come. It's a revolt against the government. "And that man of sin be revealed." Here that abomination is called the man of sin. He's the son of perdition. "This one opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, but this will not take place until the restraints are lifted. And in verse 8 we read, "Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness," that's the blazing forth, the epiphania of his parousia. When his personal presence blazes forth, this one is destroyed. So you see that before the parousia can take place, before the man of sin, this Antichrist, can appear, there has to be a temple in Jerusalem, and that this is denominated as being the temple of God. It is not something that men built and say, "This is the temple," but this will be rebuilt in the kingdom of God. Now, when the time comes that the decree goes forth to rebuild and restore Jerusalem, well, men can set their clocks then, and they can begin to count off the 490 years. I do not believe that any decree has ever gone forth, that is, by God, to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. That permission has been given by kings to rebuild the walls. Permission was given to restore the priesthood. We read about this in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. And there were kings that helped in this, and they gave permission and furnished materials and so on. But there never was a time anywhere in history where you could put your point and say, "This was a decree to restore and build Jerusalem." This decree has to be a divine decree, and it happens in the kingdom of God, in the time that God governs. It will be a divine decree, and it's to the whole world that Jerusalem shall be restored and shall be rebuilt. And right here, we've got the measurements, and we have got the description of the temple that will be in that time. And as I have said before, and I have before me just now, a picture, a design of what this temple will look like, setting forth even the plans of the divisions of the land. This can all be established from these chapters. And, of course, you would know that this is exceedingly important in the plan and purpose of God, that they would have the exact measurements as to what this temple is to be. It is not to be see how big you can make it or see how great that you can make it, but that this will tell of its openings. It tells of the rooms all around, and it tells of the actual location of the temple house itself, and the separate places. All of these can be established, and I have before me right now a most excellent drawing of the that based upon these membership on these measurements, including the outer court and the various pavements and the gates of the outer court and the kitchen of the people and the priest kitchens where they could prepare their meals. That's all in the future. That's the way it is to be in the day when God governs the earth. Well, let's go on now and get the description of this temple. Afterward, he brought me to the temple and measured the post. 6 cubits broad on the one side, 6 cubits broad on the other side, which was the breadth of the tabernacle. That's 41st chapter, first verse. The breadth of the door was 10 cubits. Sides of the door were 5 cubits on the one side and 5 cubits on the other side. And he measured the length thereof 40 cubits and the breadth 20 cubits. Then went he inward and measured the post of the door 2 cubits, the door 6 cubits, the breadth of the door 7 cubits. So he measured the length thereof 20 cubits, the breadth 20 cubits before the temple. And he said unto me, this is the most holy place. He measured the wall of the house 6 cubits, the breadth of every side chamber 4 cubits, round about the house on every side. Side chambers were 3, one over another, 30 in order, and they entered into the wall, which was of the house, for the side chambers round about, that they might have hold, but they had not hold in the wall of the house. And there was an enlarging and a winding about still upward to the side chambers, for the winding about the house went still upward round about the house. Therefore the breadth of the house was still upward, and so increased in the lowest chamber to the highest by the midst. I saw also the height of the house round about. The foundation of the side chambers were a full reed of 6 great cubits. Thickness of the wall, which was for the side chambers without, was 5 cubits. That which was left was the place of the side chambers that were within. And between the chambers was the wideness of 20 cubits round about the house on every side. The doors of the side chambers were toward the place that was left, one door toward the north, another door toward the south, and the breadth of the place that was left was 5 cubits round about. Now the building that was before the separate place at the end toward the west was 70 cubits broad. The wall of the building was 5 cubit thick round about, the length thereof 90 cubits. So he measured the house, and 100 cubits long, and the separate place in the building with the walls thereof, and 100 cubits long. Also the breadth of the face of the house, and of the separate place toward the east, and 100 cubits. He measured the length of the building over against the separate place which was behind it, the galleries thereof on the one side and on the other side, 100 cubits, with the inner temple and the porches of the court, the doorposts and the narrow windows and the galleries round about on their 3 stories, over against the door sealed with wood round about, the ground up to the windows, and the windows were covered, to that above the door, even unto thine house, and without, by all the wall round about, within and without, by measure, was made with cherubims and palm trees. That would be representations of cherubims and palm trees. So the palm tree was between a cherub and a cherub, and every cherub had 2 faces. So the face of a man was toward the palm tree, the young side, the one side, face of a young lion toward the palm tree on the other side, and it was made throughout all the house round about. From the ground unto above the door were cherubims and palm trees made, and on the wall of the temple, the post of the temple was squared, the face of the sanctuary, the appearance of the one is the appearance of the other. The altar of wood was 3 cubits high, and the length thereof 2 cubits, and the corners thereof and the length thereof. The walls thereof were of wood, and he said unto me, this is a table that is before the Lord. About the only place in Scripture, one other place I know of, where you find anything refers to is the table of the Lord. Here is a table that was before the Lord. The temple and the sanctuary had two doors. The doors had two leaves apiece, two turning leaves, two leaves for the one door and two leaves for the other door. And there were made on them, on the doors of the temple, cherubims and palm trees, like as was made upon the walls, and there were thick planks upon the face of the porch which out. There were narrow windows and palm trees on the one side and on the other, and on the sides of the porch, upon the side chambers of the house, and thick planks. Just think what a privilege it would be if in the day of the kingdom that we could go to this temple, and with our Bible open that we could see that this temple, when it is rebuilt, will fit every descriptive detail given here. And if there have been any mistranslations, those can be corrected. If there's been any scribal errors, these can be set right. This is the way it'll be in the kingdom. The description continues. He brought me forth into the utter court, the way toward the north, and he brought me into the chamber that was over against a separate place, which was before the building toward the north. Before the length of 100 cubits was the north door. And the breadth was 50 cubits. Over against the 20 cubits there, which were for the inner court, over against the pavement, which was for the utter court, was gallery against gallery in three stories. Before the chambers was a walk of 10 cubits breadth inward, a way of 1 cubit, and their doors toward the north. Now the upper chambers were shorter, for the galleries were higher than these, than the lower and the middlemost of the building, for they were in three stories, but had not pillars, as the pillars of the courts. Therefore the building was straight more than the lowest, and the middlemost from the ground. And the wall that was without over against the chambers toward the utter court or in the forepart of the chambers, the length thereof was 50 cubits. For the length of the chambers that were in the utter court was 50 cubits, and lo, before the temple were 100 cubits. And from under these chambers was the entry on the east side, as one goeth into them from the utter court. The chambers were in the thickness of the wall of the court, toward the east, and over against a separate place, and over against the building. And the way before them was like the appearance of the chambers which were toward the north, as long as they, and as broad as they, and all their goings out were both according to their fashions, and according to their doors. And according to the doors of the chambers that were toward the south was the door in the head of the way, even the way directly before the wall toward the east, as one entereth into them. Then said he unto me, the north chambers and the south chambers, which are before the separate place, they be holy chambers, where the priests that approach unto the Lord shall eat the most holy things. There shall they lay the most holy things, and the meat offering, and the sin offering, and the trespass offering, for the place is holy. When the priests enter therein, then shall they not go out of the holy place into the utter court, but they shall lay their garments wherein they minister, for they are holy. They shall put on other garments, and shall approach to those things which are for the people. Now when he had made an end of measuring the inner house, he brought me forth toward the gate, whose prospect is toward the east, and measured it round about. He measured the east with the measuring reed, 500 reeds, with the measuring reed round about. He measured the north side, 500 reeds, with the measuring reed round about. He measured the south side, 500 reeds, with the measuring reed. He turned about the west side and measured 500 reeds with the measuring reed. He measured by the four sides. It had a wall round about 500 reeds long, 500 broad, to make a separation between the sanctuary and the profane place. Now, this brings us to an end of the measurements of the temple, and of the description of the temple, and commonly called the Millennial Temple, but truly this is the temple that will exist in Israel in the kingdom of God and will be there through the millennium. Now in chapter 43, he declares, afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city, and the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Kebar, and I fell upon my face. And the glory of the Lord came in the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. He's seeing all of this, of course, in vision. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house. And the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I shall dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, that's in perpetuity, perpetually, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they, nor their kings, by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places, in their setting of their threshold, by my thresholds, and their post by my post, and the wall between me and them, they have even defiled my holy name by their abominations they have committed, whereof I have consumed them in mine anger. This is looking back. Now let them put away their whoredom, and the carcass of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever, in perpetuity. No ain't changing. Not up until a certain time, I'll do it in perpetuity. Thou, son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities. Let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them that the form of the house, and the fashions thereof, and the going out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinance thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, and they shall keep the whole form thereof, all the ordinance thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. And these are the measures of the altar after the cubits. The cubit is a cubit and a handbreadth. We commonly measured as 18 inches, a cubit and a handbreadth. Even the bottom shall be a cubit, the breadth a cubit, the border thereof by the edge thereof. Round about shall be a span. This shall be the higher place of the altar. And the bottom upon the ground, even the lower settle shall be 2 cubits, the breadth of 1 cubit. The lesser settle, even the greater settle, shall be 4 cubits, and the breadth of 1 cubit. The altar shall be 4 cubits, the altar and upper shall be 4 horns. The altar shall be 12 cubits long and 12 broad, square in the 4 squares thereof. The settle shall be 14 cubits long and 14 broad in the 4 squares thereof. The border about it shall be 1/2 cubit, the bottom thereof shall be 1 cubit about. His stairs shall look toward the east. He said unto me, Son of man, thus saith the Lord God, these are the ordinances of the altar in the day when they shall make it, to offer burnt offerings thereon, and to sprinkle blood thereon. And thou shalt give to the priests, the Levites that be of the seed of Zadok, which approach unto me to minister unto me, saith the Lord God, a young bullock for a sin offering. And they shall take of the blood thereof, and put it on the 4 horns of it, and on the 4 corners of the settle, and upon the borders round about it, and thou shalt cleanse and purge it. Thou shalt take the bullock also, the sin offering, and he shall burn it in the appointed place of the house without the sanctuary. On the 2nd day thou shalt offer a kid of goats without blemish for a sin offering. They shall cleanse the altar as they did cleanse it with the bullock. When thou hast made an end of cleansing it, thou shalt offer a young bullock without blemish, a ram of the flock without blemish. Thou shalt offer them before the Lord, and the priest shall cast salt upon them. They shall offer of them upon a burnt offering unto the Lord. 7 days shalt thou prepare every day a goat for a sin offering. Thou shalt also prepare a young bullock and a ram out of the flock without blemish. 7 days shall they purge the altar and purify it. They shall consecrate themselves. When these days are expired, it shall be And upon the eighth day and so forward, the priest shall make your burnt offering upon the altar, and your peace offerings, and I will accept you, saith the Lord God. Now, in the portion that we have before us here, we have this costly recurring problem of sacrifices during the kingdom of God. The Bible says so, and I say that there will be. Definitely, these offerings will be offered. But whereas in previous times these look forward to the death of Christ, in the future they will simply have to look backward to the cross of Christ. But they are offered, and their true meaning and their true significance and their true lessons will be known at that time. Let's continue. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, This gate shall be shut. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord thy God of Israel hath entered in by it. Therefore it shall be shut. It is for the prince. He shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord, and shall enter by the way of the porch of that gate, shall go out by the way of the same. This prince, I have to believe, would be the man David. Then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house. And I looked, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell upon my face. And the Lord said unto me, Son of man, mark well, and behold with thine eyes, and hear with your ears, all that I say unto thee concerning all the ordinances of the house of the Lord, and all the laws thereof, and mark well the entering in of the house, with every going forth of the sanctuary. And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, and that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart, and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. And you have not kept the charge of my holy things, but ye have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves. Thus saith the Lord God. He's dealing now with the priest in the temple to come. And no stranger, no foreigner, uncircumcised in heart nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary of any stranger that is among the children of Israel. And the Levites that are gone away far from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of my house, ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them, because they ministered unto them before their idols, and caused the house of Israel to fall in iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near to me to do the office of a priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. But I will make them keepers of the charge of the house, for all the service thereof, and for all that shall be done therein. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. It shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, whilst they minister in the gates, the inner court, and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and they shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. When they go forth in the utter court, even unto the utter court, to the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they ministered, lay them in the holy changers. They shall put on other garments. They shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to go on. They shall only poll their heads. Poll means to trim and to cut, and this was the law for these people. And neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, or her, that is, put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before, who was the wife of a priest before. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, cause them to discern between unclean and the clean. How much we wish we could teach the people that today, but oh, how few will listen. Verse 24, and in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall come at no dead person to defile themselves. But for father, or for mother, or for son, or for daughter, or for brother, or for sister, that hath no husband, they may defile themselves. And after he is cleansed, they shall reckon unto him 7 days. And a day that he goeth into the sanctuary, and the inner court to minister in the sanctuary, he shall offer his sin offering, saith the Lord God. And it shall be unto them for an inheritance. I am their inheritance, and he shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the meat offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering. Every dedicated thing in Israel shall be theirs. And the first of all, the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations, shall be the priest's. Ye shall give also unto the priest the first of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to rest in thine house. The priest shall not eat of anything that is dead of itself, or torn, whether it be fowl or beast. Well, we've covered quite a few chapters there. I've enjoyed very much rereading it myself. I trust that you followed with your Bible open, and at least we know that this portion has not been ignored or neglected. It was my pleasure to teach you, and till we meet again, I thank you for listening here to the study from the Word of the Living God.